Welcome back to the PFC podcast. The views and opinions you are about to hear are the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of anyone else. Now on to the podcast.
Welcome back to the PFC podcast. This is Dennis and today I'm with Henri. How are you doing this morning?
Hello, mostly well.
Oh, very good. So the reason why I asked Henri to come on is that he's a Ukrainian medic and we're going to get some lessons learned straight from the battlefield. So Henri, if you wouldn't mind, would you please give us a little bit of background on yourself?
Yeah, of course, with pleasure. I am a combat medic. I'm participating in the War Science 14. And we get a lot of experience and we start from, you know, from the beginning. We develop it through all this war. We had a lot of lessons. We had a lot of instructors which came to us and train us. And now we get more and more experience and we still continue to adapt and every time adjust to the current situation because everything is changed even through the last year. I do not even try to compare science with 2014. So a lot of things were changed during this time and we also changed with these things.
Yeah. So, you know, let's start off kind of some basic stuff. So what are the very common trauma MOI that you're seeing?
Yeah, so a lot of trauma present now. So you have absolutely whole like pattern of trauma, especially if we talk about like last year. And but of course, the first place belongs to the shrapnel wounds, and especially if we talk about the artillery shelling. So yeah, shrapnel wounds is the number one. Then we have like TBI. Like less, of course, it's gunshot wounds, but it also depends from the region because in some areas, the Ukrainian fights in Trinchia, the Russian always try to assault, and sometimes the gunshot wound is in some area, it's spread also.
Okay. So how do those wound patterns, do they change with, you know, urban versus rural, or are they essentially the same?
Yeah, unfortunately, or like of success, they changed a lot. If we talk about the urban area, they had like much more like trauma, not only from shrapnel, but also secondary trauma from the, you know, the piece of bricks or something like this. If we talk about shrapnel wounds, in case if the artillery shell reaches some solid surface, the shrapnels going down and mostly hit lower limbs instead of if we talk about the like some ground surface, they mostly go to the up and side and mostly injured like upper limb and the chest or and armpit or something like this. So we have like such a big difference. And it's easy to see and it's easy to compare.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You know, you have an artillery round or a mortar round, whatever. You know, hitting concrete, it's very hard. When it explodes, that angle of the shrapnel is going to be a lot lower to the ground compared to soft soil. The round is actually going to penetrate into the soil. And so your angle of that shrapnel is going to be, you know, a lot steeper, I guess.
Yeah, probably the most like obvious thing that you have, like the guy from urban area, a lot of like amputation or partial amputation of lower limbs. Mm-hmm. So it's quite common.
Okay. And you had also mentioned, you know, not just the penetration of the shrapnel, but it's actually, you know, you have very large gaping holes compared to maybe what you commonly trained on, you know, in the very beginning.
Yeah, so what we seem that we faced and our medic faced with non-typical trauma, which we like do not cover it previously in any like kind of training, that it's like a massive tissue which was turned off from the body, and sometimes it's accompanied with also bone like fracture or absent of the bones, and some medics like confused and don't know how to treat that kind of the wounds. And the another interesting thing that sometimes because of explosive, the like first wave probably with some shrapnel and temperature and pressures, they turn off big part of the tissue. But the second wave, in case in the, if it's like hits the ground or something exists, it's caused that the sand or some other materials which was like under the like great temperature, they burned this area and it stopped all like minor bleeding or something like this, and it looks terrible, but it's not bleed for now, like for that moment when you saw it, but in the same times it could be some small penetration wound just from shrapnel which not covered by the burns of this sand with the temperature, and it's bleeding. And sometimes medic confused, they don't know how to deal with it, because we have like obvious big amount of partial amputation which are not bleeding now, but and he like focused on it, and in the same time he had like small penetration wound which bleeding, and but like comparison to previous big hole it's look like minor, and sometimes he look like confused and not always make correct decisions. So this is the point where we try to make changes in our preparation. So this is the lessons learned. So you first of all should better observe all limbs, and first of all you should pay attention to them, like any kind of bleeding, it doesn't matter it's minor, or of course in massive bleeding it will be like critical bleeding we should cope with. But yeah, if we see that big amount of turn off the tissue, sometimes we could ignore it in the beginning. Of course, we cope with it during the old MARSH algorithm.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, just big distracting injuries, whether it be a big, big wound size or burns or anything like that, that's just visually disturbing. Medics are going to focus on that generally. And it just takes time and repetition training to kind of ignore those things and focus on MARSH. So, MOI, we talked about urban versus rural. Does it change at all during the seasons?
Yeah, so of course, that Ukraine, we have like the pretty cold winter and quite hot summer, so of course the clothes will be quite changed, and also sometimes even armor will be changed from depend of the time. And if we talk about the summer, it's not a bigger problem to cut off the clothes and expose the wound and evaluate it and make a correct decision about how to cope with a current wound, instead of winter when the soldiers we sometimes forced to stay on the like trench a long time of period, they should wear they wear a lot of like clothes. It could be first layer, second layer, third layer, and many other layers. And sometimes if they had like some injury, it doesn't matter what kind of injury, and if you want to expose it, sometimes it's absolutely impossible to get it. And so some medics prefer to apply like hasty deliberate instead of hasty tourniquet instead of deliberate, even if they have ability, because it's take so much time to get to the wound that they do not able to wait. And especially because of like artillery shelling of position is quite like constant, and the ambulance vehicle doesn't matter, it's Kisovac or it's Medevac or it's armored vehicle, and not the is not safety to stay a long time and wait evacuation time.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So speaking of difficulties on POI, so you mentioned bombardments a few times already. So, I mean, how long are these bombardments lasting?
Yeah, so it depends from the region, from the season, from the like current, like some particular position. But we faced with that situation when in some position enemy used so many like artillery shelling that sometimes evacuation wasn't impossible more than 6 hours. Like, and it was not also like, you know, mortar shelling or something like this. They use long range artillery. They launch fighter jet with bomber, and also they sometimes use a helicopter. And sometimes it's absolutely impossible to for medic to get like some position and extract the casualty, even if they know that they are there. And especially it's more difficult because like the any kind of evacuation trucks, transport extraction, like assets, like ambulance, something like this is the first priority like target for Russians, and they always try to hit it.
So you know, that's some difficulties, you know, POI, talking about the clothing, especially in the colder months, you know, the amount of clothing that your casualties wearing is very difficult to cut through to actually get to the wound, have sustained bombardments. Is there any other unique difficulties that you've experienced just on the POI and getting to your patient?
Yeah, so first of all, if we talk about the some ground position, you know, trench, the if the weather is quite raining, is a ground like they turn on to the swamp, and sometimes you could easily lost your shoes in that swamp, and it's quite difficult to extract casualty because sometimes any vehicle couldn't reach that position, and sometimes big piece of road you should cover by your feet, and it quite complicated sometimes. And other things that we were trained, you know, to like we have point of injury, we like assume that it's can the fire phase. Yeah, then we think that if we take some cover, for example, another trench, it could be tactical field care, yes, and we have some cover. But in our condition, the enemy quite often use the drones with a special things which allows to drop the grenade or other explosive devices. And if you try to stay in trench and provide first aid, they absorb it and see that more than one person laying on the trench, and they like use all their drones to hit the casualty. So probably a lot of medics was died or was injured during especially first phase of the war, trying to provide the first help on like front line, because they assume that it's like cover, but in real life it's look like this cancel. But if the enemy still see you, it's not cover, so probably you should find a better cover, but sometimes it's impossible, or you should extract them until you reach some like evacuation assets.
Yeah, it makes sense. Before I get too far away from, you know, MOI and POI, are there any, you know, non-battle injuries that you've seen that are very common, you know, respiratory illness, especially if guys are very close together, sleeping very close together, you know, trench foot, and, you know, any things like that?
Yeah, regularly we deal with trauma, but of course they also have like all like we have some problems, something like this, but we have a couple problem on this stage. So first of all, it's quite like difficult to find ability to force them go to the like any medical facility because they want to stay entrenched until the end, and they just say, okay, good doc, give me some, you know, some drugs and leave me alone, I will cope with it. If we talk about foot trench, it's I don't know why, but it wasn't like really common during the winter. Maybe it's common, but, you know, in the old pattern of like wound, because they regularly came to the like casualty collection point, not because of trench feet, but because of some wound. And sometimes it was the most minor problem for the casualty on that time. So probably during the winter, we don't really pay attention on it. Of course, we saw a lot of frostbite. Sometimes it was mixed, but if we talk about comparing with regular trauma, it was not really like, you know, important in that time. Yeah. If we talk about some respiratory disease or something like this, of course, a lot of guys had it, but still they just add some, you know, some drugs in, and that's it. If we talk about some virus or something like this, probably during that phase, they had so many stress and others that they mostly not really pay attention for their health condition, because mostly the intensity of fire is so high and they just try to, like, you know, survive. And in that condition, the immune system like try to mitigate all this like secondary illness and focused on survivability. But where we commonly see it, when the like we took away the guys from the trench, they already got to the like some relatively safety condition, the old illness starting to going up.
Makes sense. So another thing maybe a day or two ago, it was about from the Russian side that, you know, they're digging their trenches and they're digging their trenches through farmland and they're digging up, you know, anthrax, spores, and that's becoming an issue with them. And I imagine it's going to continue being an issue through as the season warms up. Have you guys noticed anything on your side?
Yeah, so probably I thought about it. And first of all, during the winter time, the temperature quite low and they have no chance, you know, to develop. But regularly, like, we are not really commonly use a lot of these chemicals inside during our like field working, so it's not quite common for us. And I'm not really fast with it, but it's not means it is not present here. So just from my experience, I do not face it. Maybe when it will be more like warm and when the ground will be like more warmer, we will see that problem. But for example, we have a lot of trench war signs 2014, and this problem was not really common. Maybe some particular territory could be more dangerous, but it will be, I just my, you know, suggestions, maybe some local situation we will see, but for now it's not really common.
Oh, that's very good. All right, so disease, non-battle injury, you know, it's always going to be common in any kind of conflict. And you know, we can't just think trauma. We have to take in consideration, you know, the whole patient. But moving off of MOI and POI, what are some difficulties you're seeing going from POI and now you're in the CCP? What kind of difficulties are you seeing?
Yeah, so the biggest problem, like I mentioned before, that the enemy tried to get any like casualty collection point, any ambulance asset, medical assets, and if they see, you know, some medical personnel who try to get as a casualty, it would be like priority target for them. So, and yeah, so the mortality during evacuation quite high, especially in some region, and you should always consider it. So the enemy mostly have a lot of drones also. And if we talk about the field area, it's quite difficult to take cover. That's why sometimes evacuation from both sides, by the way, happened mostly in the like nighttime, because you could easily cancel your like movement or something like this. And of course, it also depends from the season, because in winter the trees haven't leaves, and you could use, you know, the forest or something like this. And yeah, it is quite depend. And about the road and other, most of road, because of enemy have like priority in artillery, and they like so like common make the artillery shelling off road, the road is terrible. So sometimes it's impossible to fast, like just came, you know, this load and go. It wasn't work like this, because it's keep too much time. If you try to use armored vehicle, it's also like complicated. And so it's depend, of course, from the region, from the territory, but in some region it's quite difficult. Like I said, along distance you should cover by your feet, then you could use, for example, caissovac or like armored vehicle. Then probably then when you reach the normal route, you could make exchange point and put the casualty to the ambulance or something like this. So it's really depend from the like region and from the medical planning. So you always should make the correct medical plan, because from it could depend someone's life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, how are you making coordinations? Is this like a pre-planned thing? Like as part of your medical plan, you know, I'm going to move from, you know, point of injury to X distance. You know, we're going to meet up in this location. I'm going to transfer them over to, you know, an armored vehicle. They're going to take them to another pre-planned spot where we're going to exchange over to an ambulance. Or is this kind of on the fly, you know, radio calls or whatever?
So it's like always depend from the planning, from the mission, like DLP procedure or something like this. And yeah, but in most range, for example, for the field, yes, you try to elevate how like far the artillery enemy could reach you, what the mortar covered, what location more danger, what less danger, how many people could extract the casualty. So a lot of variety, you know, and every mission you should like planning from the beginning. Because if some situation on some like area is constant in some direction, like you hear probably this in the news, they change it so fast that your like yesterday plan will not work together, because position changed. They like get more artillery, they get more like fight jet or something like this, and it will not, the previous plan will not work. So every day you will use, so of course you always will have some pre-planning, but you always should make base plan, you know, something like this. And yeah, if we talk about the like right radio, like some like connection between the group, it's also complicated, because radio interference and other, they like could spoil all your first plans.
Yeah,
so it's also sometimes complicated. So you always should have a lot of variety. Your base plan should be always like create before. And you always, it's sometimes the situation unpredictable, but we do like our best.
Yeah, of course. Can't do anything other.
I won't give you like some one answer, but it doesn't exist. So yeah, this is why.
Yeah. No, of course. I mean, life is complicated, and this is a war zone. It's going to be complicated. You know, it doesn't just go scenario, you know?
Yeah, but before full-scale war invasion, we should create a couple of the plans and it will work. But now it's everything more complicated. Radio station could be like, could be doesn't work because they like make it like worse. The internet could be also doesn't work, or it could be heated or some other. So you could like planning use your medical asset, but sometimes is not able to reach zone what you have. So you should use the assets of like some guys who stay beside you. So a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
If we talk about the urban area, so they're mostly used, you know, it depends. Sometimes it could be like some KSAVAK or something like this, but the main problem that it's quite big chance that your tires will be cut by some shrapnel which just lay down on the every road. So that's why you could try to reach the like point of injury, but is when you try to come back, your tires will be completely flat. So it also not plan. So plan B, it's armored vehicle. It's also good, but armored vehicle, it's quite low, loud, you know, and so the drones will anyway will notice it, and it means that you will have like direct fire, not direct fire, but any kind of fire on this vehicle. So it means that it you should evacuate quite fast. So they come, you load and go, but you could use this assets for a like long normal road. So you should encounter that you should put the exchange point. And if the, for example, armored vehicle should cover the long distance, you should put better medical personnel inside this armored vehicle. But sometimes it's not impossible because you could put normal, you know, normal medical stuff inside this vehicle, because sometimes you will have, for example, one like complicated casualty and a lot of light casualty, but you should load it per one time. So, you know, so many unpredictable things that you should be really flexible on it.
Yes, of course, of course. So, you know, mentioning, you know, rapid turnovers, things like that, are, is the medic on the ground generally going with the patient all the way to the CCP, or are you handing off to another?
Or is that so it also depends. It depends from the unit. It depends from the mission and other. But if, you know, if the mission is over because you have the casualty, of course, the medic could go with the casualty and other group will just lead you or something like this. If the mission is not over, the ground medic should stay on position. Maybe he just asked about resupply. We regularly don't use 9-line in our condition, but because we have some constant warfare and we don't need to always like call all 9-line. We just simplify it. And so it depends. Regularly on the like armored vehicle, we don't need some, you know, advanced medic. It's just someone who could like at least control the bleeding or something. This is basically take care about airways. And if that, if the road which covers the armored vehicle is short, so on the end of this road, on the exchange point, they will be like some experienced medic, which mostly should like provide better first aid.
Yeah, of course. So another thing you mentioned in the other, our other conversations is that at the CCP, it's very often a MASCAL, and it's just kind of a rolling MASCAL. How are you guys doing triage?
Yeah, so the term of CCP, it's quite, you know, not look we trained before, like in our traditional imagine. But yeah, so sometimes because of, you know, in case of this armored vehicle came like once or twice, a lot of people try to load on this assets. And sometimes when any vehicle like came, we had that once along of a lot of casualties. And of course, we should to make triage. And it's not always, you know, looks like traditional triage, you know, green, yellow and other, or delayed and then any other. So regular is like the most experienced medic or surgeon, if it's forward surgical team or something like this, they try to assess the casualty and find that one who need immediately like surgical intervention, especially if we talk about, you know, shock condition or something like this.
Yeah.
And then we have like more simply triage. So it's quite it's difficult to describe because every like we have some special soap because each CCP they adjust and have their soap. So, but I like prefer to say that we not follow most. So I'm not seeing like traditional CCP what I learned before. I'm never used like. So I tried a couple times to use traditional triage, but so because of, you know, surgical team was close to us and they said, so it's a bullshit. I take this and this. You who? You combat medic? Go out here. You have another job. So
yeah,
that's why. So where we do traditional CCP when we have some, you know, mass call on the field. So there I was ability to make the traditional CCP. Oh, sorry, traditional triage. But on like our CCP, it's regular do not work like this. So they have like couple priority shock, abdominal trauma. And so it's look like, you know, secondary triage after CCP, but they do it from the beginning. So surgeon came, okay, you and you. And if he couldn't recognize the ones, they say, okay, you guys like cut the clothes off, vital signs and report me. So it's quite different. So, but one more time, it's only my experience. And it's quite like, you know, limited.
So essentially,
maybe some other guys.
Just from what I'm just gathering, essentially you're organizing it into three kind of categories. You know, you have the dead, you have the dying. So some kind of surgical type intervention, and then you know, the wounded who do not need to be immediately evac'd for surgery. That maybe we can handle it for a bit longer here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So immediate, delayed, and I even forget all category of triage.
Yeah.
So regular, it's more simple in that case. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of casualties, they don't need like immediate intervention. So, and sometimes they say, hey, you medic, you could care about it. Like combat medic even could care. So dress the wound, you know, something like this. And
okay.
Some surgeons sometimes just make, supervising along. So they have a couple combat medics and supervise. Okay, we do care. You should to do conversion and others just control it. So it's really a lot of variation, but I'm never seen like traditional casualty collection point in and triaging like we train.
Yeah. So, you know, mentioned priority.
Except one situation, we create, you know, because we expect a lot of casualty, we create everything like we was like trained, but when we get the casualty, they wasn't, you know, they mostly was everyone was like priority, not the immediate or something like this. So we don't need to perform a lot of triage, but yeah. So from my experience, I haven't like something like this.
Yeah. So you mentioned on POI, obviously the number one priority is hemorrhage control. I'm guessing in the CCP is when you begin your resuscitation. Are you guys using threshold blood? Or are you doing component therapy, type specific? Like, are you getting that done?
Yeah. So we still have like some problem with the blood if we talk about casualty collection point, especially first. But it also depends from the region, from medical staff who presents there, and like the trained medic who who've been there. But somewhere we, if we talk about where like casualty collection point, it's quite close for like forward surgical team. Sometimes it's the same, and some forward surgical team who had a lot of wrestlers and others, they perform like blood transfusion. Sometimes it's cold stored whole blood. Sometimes they try to do, you know, fresh whole blood. So they find the donors, they like created something like walking blood bank, something exists, or donor pool. It's not quite common, but still someone tried to do it. Some, it's not quite common, but it's more rare, but even some medical assets have like blood on their like vehicles. Now it's quite popular dry plasma, but we need to find it. But we also still, unfortunately, sometimes use the like saline or gelofuzine or something like this. So that kind of fluids. And yeah, but I hope soon it will be changed and we will shift to the blood product.
Okay. Oh. So other than blood, are you guys able to get antibiotics on board at this time, especially with the contamination of wounds from dirt and things like that?
Yep. Yeah, it's a quite common antibiotic, ceftriaxone.
Okay,
and, ceftriaxone. Yeah, so if we talk about some like guidelines antibiotic like ertapenem or something like this, it's not quite common.
Yeah, ertapenem.
And yeah, so it's the most popular ceftriaxone because it's enough in the country because we try to probably... The main reason when we use ceftriaxone, they don't want, you know, to produce antibiotic resistance, something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not always enough using only ceftriaxone. Probably sometimes we have some complication of it. But, yeah, the mostly it's priority on most of medical system for now.
Okay. So moving from the CCP to, you know, your role two or role two plus, whatever it is, you have your, you know, more definitive care. What kind of challenges are you facing just in the transport? You know, talking about armored vehicles coming from POI to the CCP, are you using those same vehicles to then... after you've kind of stabilized the patient to then move them farther, or are you guys switching out different types of vehicles?
No, because so yes, so the front line is quite wide, you know, it's hundreds of kilometers, and if you use the same vehicle, the time of like evacuation will be long. So until you reach like roll one, then roll two, then roll three, it sometimes could take, you know, hours. So that's why mostly in most situation we have, you know, like case evacuators or armored vehicle from point of injury to the exchange point, sometimes directly to the CCP, sometimes like they like came to the CCP, bring the casualty and return to the like to the exchange point or something like this. And from the casualty collection point, it's like mostly roll two. Yeah, sometimes roll two, like roll two forward, something like this. They have their own vehicle. It's more sometimes it's ambulances or something like this, which go directly to the roll three or something like this. Okay. So it's different like type of vehicle. So it's a resuscitation team and other because a lot of casualty need some additional support during evacuation. So it's sometimes it's ambulance with some resuscitation team, which like transport them to the next care of level of care.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it's got to be difficult transitioning between all these different types of vehicles and the setups are going to be different and the sizes are going to be different and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it depends because, you know, a lot of like army vehicle, a lot of volunteer vehicle, and so it's different assets. The personnel is different, so the level of personnel are different. Some, if we talk especially about evacuation from the role 2 till role 3 or something like this, it's like mostly, you know, ambulance C+ class, and you know, in some ambulance they have enough staff, in some they have less. So always we need additional triage, understand it, which casualty need like more advanced vehicle and advanced team, which less, and it depends. But mostly, like if we talk about from role 2 till role 3, there are not a lot of problem. Instead of if we talk about from point of injury to role 2.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, targeting of your ambulances or medical kind of transports. You know, how common is this? Is this just they get lucky, or are they actually hunting down medical personnel, medical transport?
Yeah, so regularly, you know, the problem is that the Russian permanently use, you know, that big drones which called Arlan, and they like constantly like handgun on the air, and they try to find the, you know, the point where the vehicle gathering or people gathering, or like I mentioned, some vehicle like it's ambulance or something exists, so they pretty easy noticeable. Yeah. And, you know, if they like see it, and if it's get reached, especially by artillery, they do it with pleasure. And yeah, if it's like far, they like not really common, but as it's like, it's quite often they like, if they could reach it by artillery, they reach it by rocket.
Yeah.
So I know that like at least like 2 times or like, some depend, they try to hit the main like casualty collection point or like field hospital, something like this. And they're like the benefits when like which help us, it sometimes it use, you know, like some old rocket in these cases in the front line mostly, and they regularly missed. Not mm-hmm. always, but it's not always like to hit directly like some building or shelter or something like this, but it's still it's if it's missed to the casualty collection point or field hospital, it doesn't mean that they do not hit nothing. Mostly they could hit like some civilian infrastructure or some other. And if we talk about from point of injury till like casualty collection point, of course they try to hit it, because they understand that some vehicle regularly come to the trench or something like this. So they have it's priority target. If they've seen that where a lot of vehicle gathering or somewhere try to hide in, they, because you know, some exchange point, something like this, they also try to find out it and also hit it. So it's right to do quite often. So there's the reason when we forced to like often change the exchange point and spread the medical assets, and it's also make more complicated evacuation of the casualty because you always should adapt, change and other. And you know, during like full-scale war we lost a lot of medics. So if we try to compare like, for example, from 2014 till 2022, if we compare the loss of medics, they lost a lot. Also, they also tried to make ambush. I know at least a couple of evacuation team which was in ambush and they was killed. Mm-hmm. A lot of combat medic. And, you know, yeah, so a lot of medical personnel died, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, speaking of other fucked up things that happen, chemical weapons. I've heard reports of chemical weapons like carfentanil or white phosphorus being used. Do you have any experience, or have you heard about this?
I haven't like personal experience about the white phosphor or something like this, but especially in the beginning of the war, my friend who's died, they had experience about the white phosphor a lot. And it's not so common, but it's happened, especially if the Russian thought that any news could show it up. They use it, you know, in Mariupol and other cities, but they think that they blocked and anyone do not see it. They use all possible weapons what they have, because they understand that it's especially in the cities, because they understand that it's quite difficult to engage it, and they use any unconventional method to fight. So white phosphor is quite common. There a lot of probably another chemical weapon, but is not really common use, because not everyone understanding that they use chemical weapon or not. So most of you could know about it, because if it's obvious, if someone film it, or if you see a lot number of casualties with the same problems.
Signs and symptoms.
Signs and symptoms.
Yeah.
So this is a problem. Yeah, but it's used. Why it's not common? Because now they in most front lines, they the enemy so close. If they use some gas or something like this, they also harm their own forces. So the Russia, we know that not really pity with them, with their soldiers. They don't care about them. Yeah. But still, it's could lead, if they should count the wind and other, and it's quite difficult. So they afraid to lost some benefits on the front. So they afraid to use this chemical weapon sometimes. But if it's if they try to hit some radar position, it's quite common.
Okay. So. You had mentioned you've been a medic since 2014, I believe. From your training and your experience then till now, what kind of skills have you been kind of forced to learn on the fly? How have you had to adapt during this current conflict?
Yeah, so it's a long way. It's hard to recollect if you talk about since 14, because I have some small break and other, not small, but quite big. But first of all, about the wound pattern, we understand that our standard training not cover everything, especially, there's trauma of limbs, when you of joint trauma, when it's complicated to decide what to use, tourniquet or packing the wound, or maybe a junctional tourniquet or something like this. We face that not always all methods are working well. If we talk about the for example, even the junctional tourniquet or something like this, complicated sometimes to find out that the casualty have pelvic fracture or something like this. Even the packing of the wound sometimes is more complicated, because before you always train on some dummies, train to pack the wound, but in real life sometimes all tissue are disconnected from each other, each muscle disconnected from other muscle, all muscle disconnected from the bone and from the skin, and you try to pack wound as you trained. But you understand that you just moved on the muscles and do not stop the bleeding, because we have like packed to the bone and to the heart, but when you try it, it's not work well. And some other things what we faced is this quite complicated amputation, which sometimes is full amputation, sometimes partial amputation. and it's hard to understand how to cope with it. And of course, you like, if it's possible, apply tourniquet and other. But you also, if you try to evacuate this person, you understand that the leg, you could lost it during the evacuation process. So you should try to split it. So sometimes splitting is impossible, especially if you understand that the way from point of injury to any like point of evacuation, you should cover a lot of like complicated surface, and it could be difficult. So splinting in that warfare conflict is so we never thought that this will be so much important, because before we thought, we know that splinting is important, but never thought that it will be so important in some cases. Airways problem was like not really common. I was surprised, but still, it's just my experience. I know that some other had like a lot of problem with airways, but mostly we don't really often use NPAs. Mostly the guys have spontaneous breathing or something like this, but it doesn't mean that it's like common for everyone. Maybe that one who haven't like, who have like airway obstruction, or he just been unconscious or something like this, they like their body do not like mention that they need like to recovery position or open airways maneuvers, and that why he just choked by the tongue. So, but mostly in evacuation phase, you don't see a lot of like airway problem. From other side, we see, from other hand, we see a lot of, you know, massive face trauma, which was like quite difficult, but mostly it wasn't a big problem. So if they have spontaneous breathing, we just set them, allow them to set, and they mostly were able to control their airways. Mm-hmm. We also see some more complicated problem where that was, for example, neck was cut and we see that so the trachea, but in recovery position, the casualties reached like level 2 and was successfully treated. So airways was not really common problem. I was surprised about it, but from other side, some problem is like it's rare, but it's sometimes difficult to solve. Another what was surprise for us, it's a respiratory problem, that we didn't see a lot of tension pneumothorax in our experience, but we know that some, it depends from the condition, but we see a lot of pneumohematorax, and even if you try to solve problem by, for example, NCD, it's not always to work. So we pay more attention for chest tube, because before we thought that it's quite low chance that we are forced to do chest tubes, but now we understand that probably everyone at least should know how to do it and train it more, because sometime, you know, especially in case of pneumohematorax, is quite common because a lot of shrapnels and other and yeah.
You guys do finger thoracotomy?
Yeah, so mostly we try to do, so mostly we do it on casualty collection point. We do not try in the field, but now we like pay attention for it like more serious, and probably we will change this in the future and like do it more regular in our training if we will have ability to train the guys. Yeah, so about circulation, what I was surprised and my dudes was surprised that we was trained, you know, that they're shocked, that they have like, they have absent pulse on the radial, they like mental status was decreased and other, but in real life a lot of person compensates the shock by different way. Someone like having pulse of like distal pulse, but still like have normal mental status, something with it. It was like a little bit confused in the beginning, but then it's quite easy. Also because of, like, you know, a lot of explosion, we had a lot of like blunt trauma, yes, and internal bleeding, and it's sometimes hard. It was hard to understand it in the beginning, but now it's like quite obvious. You just follow the vital signs and understand that, yes, something wrong, you should hurry up. What also we try to do, I know that it is not the combat medic manipulation, but we try, if it's possible, to teach some guys to do ultrasound. Not necessary probably in field, but sometimes it could be useful in case if you have a long evacuation or something like this. So
yeah,
it doesn't mean that it will help you. So it will help you in case of pneumohematorrhax. If you have just like abdominal bleeding, you're not able to perform, you know, some laparotomy or something like this. Probably it should be like for surgeon team, like forward surgical team, like some other, but still you could consider that you need to get blood.
I think
blood.
It's really smart, especially for the chest, because that ultrasound will tell you definitively when, you know, just using your stethoscope or just using SpO2 or some other kind of vital signs that can kind of lead you astray. I think an ultrasound for the chest, you know, definitely very applicable. And even if you can't do a laparotomy in the back of a bouncing ambulance, you know, at least the surgeons know he is already bleeding in the box. That patient can get to surgery that much faster.
Yeah, yeah. What else interesting it was, we always like teach that and learn that, you know, pelvic fracture causes bleeding, yes. Mm-hmm. But what we find out that penetration trauma of the pelvic, yeah, it's also like cause of bleeding. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's obvious, but it was not obvious, you know, if it's front side, yeah, it's obvious. But if like side with a penetration water from the side or from the back, it's also cause like a lot of trouble, and it's also broke the pelvic, and you should also consider, even if you have penetration trauma, to split the pelvic. And yeah, it's quite interesting. And and how we know that this is a problem, it's also because of, you know, ultrasound. We like understand that we have, for example, small penetration wound, and it doesn't look, seems like, you know, you will have a problem. But after like you do a couple ultrasound, you understand, yes, definitely some liquid in the pelvic area. So and now we try to pay more attention on it.
Very good. Do you guys have TXA?
Yeah, we quite commonly use TXA. So we try to follow the like last TCCC guidelines, so it's not
good.
A problem.
Good.
And most of medication and drug we used. Yes.
Yeah, good. As far as like gear wise, you know, when you're a brand new medic after training, you picture this is the way I'm going to set up and run. Have you had to adjust anything as far as gear and your kind of your kit?
We adjust first of all the medical packs. So yeah, it's sometimes, so we have like previously imagined what medical backpacks, so it's not really changed, but proportion of some like things are changed. We add more packing material because, like I said, like that kind of wounds which turn off, if it's some limbs, you could have easily apply tourniquet, but if it's like, you know, shoulder or buttstock or something like this, you couldn't cope with like tourniquet. So you have two options. So you should add more packing material, or you should add the clamp, and you should know how to use it. So about the gear, we have like funny story about the like war belt the bullet or shrapnel, I don't know, hit the back and go out through the side near the joint of leg, and one of the magazine was blown, and the spring was inside the body.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys now tried to wear more Kevlar on them. So they use sometimes war belt with Kevlar panels. They use the groin protection, shoulder protection, and other. And from one side, it's really good decision. From other side, not really, because the casualty became more heavy. Like, it first of all, it slows him down, and the second, if he being like injured, the chance to evacuate them like less. So you have two options, like drag him with all this gear, and you will be exhausted, and it will be more longer, and you will be under more risk to be hit, or you should put it off, and it also will take the time, and then, and as I said, like if you, for example, use the shoulder protection, for example, if you still have like some bleeding of the limb, upper limb, yeah, you could easily apply the tourniquet, because you should take off the shoulder protection and try to put the tourniquet. And if it's like lower part of the arm, yeah, so you could like make something like deliberate tourniquet, for example, without cutting the closing, but still it could be a problem. So yeah, mostly some of guy, especially who in the trench or something like this, they try to add more Kevlar or polyethylene. So yeah, cool. Tourniquet. So what we like offer the guys that they use, they should have at least 4 tourniquets. So 2 by like, so it should be in vest, like uniform. So if you somehow find yourself without the plate carrier or something like this, you should be able to find easy tourniquet. Yeah. And of course, it's, you know, you should to use tourniquet without any package, because I know that some still use it with package, but if it's combined with blood and with dirty, sometimes open it quite difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so we're getting close to an hour now. Is there any kind of final lessons learned that you'd like to put out?
Yep. So first of all, like if you try to summarize, trying to have more training, trying to watch more video and trying to analyze your own experience and try to prevent problem like before it exists. Second, like do not like forget your medical stuff or something like this. So always better to take more than less. You should take like, you should prepare like 3 kind of like medical gear, for example, backpacks, some assault backpacks with medical gear, and for example, some like small like CLS bag or something like this. And of course, you so it depends from the mission. You could take another one and do not change medical equipment from one backpack to another. You just, it's ideal if you have ability to have a couple of it. The thought, like medical planning is like really important, essential. And training to evacuate it's quite, so it's was underestimated, I thought. So evacuation from vehicle, from trench, from like difficult surface, from, you know, from collapsed building, it is quite important. And should understand that you never know how. So yeah, so try to take care in some like solid concrete building or something like this. So trench is not always a good idea. Know the procedure, how to load the casualty to any assets, medical assets, how to unload. And in our cases, you should not only know your level of medical knowledge, but a little bit and level higher to help and assessed by like some medical personnel or something like this. But because of in case of Moscow or something like this, probably the medic will not have ability to provide, you know, appropriate help to your casualty. So you should know the basic procedure, and he just like could supervise you, and you will provide this help by yourself. And better know the physiology and anatomy, like better recognize the shock condition as a trauma brain injury, and and some additional resuscitation procedure should be advanced, because in case if you have, you know, some light casualty, you know, not light but not severe casualty, it's not a problem to cope with them. But the real problem became when you have one quite difficult casualty and you haven't chance to evacuate them. You should know how to try to keep them. So probably you will go into the prolonged acute care, and it's like point where you should orient it. So if it's possible, use the telemedicine. It could be quite important. Also, your pain management should be learned better. Like, sometimes it's complicated. Conversion of tourniquet, it's essential knowledge. You should know it and don't forget it. Mm-hmm. Probably adapt and improvise, because it's really important. And do not shy to ask additional medical gear if you use it before. So better to have some more than if you will need someone and you don't find it, it could cause a lot of problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Henri. I really appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, thank you for invitation. I was absolutely glad to participate in this awesome.
For today's podcast, be sure to go to our website, www.prolongfieldcare.org. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Subscribe and stay on the bleeding edge of combat medicine. This is Dennis for the PFC Podcast. Our boy is waiting there for you.